Innal hamdalillah wassalatu wassalamu ala asyrafil anbiya wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala wa ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his kalam, innal ladhina qalu rabbuna Allahu thumma istaqamu fala khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. You heard this ayat yesterday in the recitation of Shaykh Walid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, innal ladhina qalu rabbuna Allah. Those people who said Allah is our Rabb, thumma istaqamu, and on that they became firm. They had istiqamat on this statement of theirs, on this acknowledgement of theirs. قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Allah said, for them there is no fear and there is no sadness. I remind myself and you that Islam is about making a covenant, making an agreement, making a promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then honoring that promise, staying on that promise with firmness and with steadfastness. This is Islam. We make the promise and then we stay firmly on that promise. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Alam ahad إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Allah said, have you forgotten that you had this ahad with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَلَّا مَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ, that you will not worship shaitan. أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانِ, that you will not obey shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ, and he is your greatest and clear enemy. So when we say قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ, when we say Allah is my Rabb, what does it mean? Once again, when you say Allah is my Rabb, is it a statement of information or is it a statement of a relationship? Relationship. And then this relationship is based on what? Who is Rabb? Rabb is the one who takes something which is incomplete, naqis, stage by stage to a stage of completeness. Shay naqis ko batadreej kamal ke darje ko pahunchane wale ka naam Rabb hai. Something which is incomplete, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it stage by stage to a stage of completion and kamal. الذي أحسن كل شيء خلقه وبدأ خلق الإنسان من طين ثم جعل نسله من سلالة من ماء مهين. Stage by stage. Allah said, we began the creation of Adam alayhi salam with clay. Adam alayhi salam was never a baby. Adam alayhi salam was never 2 years old. He was never a toddler. He was never a teenager. And this is where our Christian brothers and sisters got confused. They said God created man in his own image. And this is the translation, because the original in Aramaic didn't say that. That is the English translation which says it. God created man in his own image. So they thought own image means in the image of God. God created man in the image of man. God created man in his own image, not in the image of God. So Adam alayhi salam was a prototype. Adam alayhi salam was born full grown. This is what man will look like. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the process for this to continue until the day he decides to stop it. And that is the process which we know. And then Allah said, then we gave him sama wal basara wal afida, hearing, sight and understanding. And today, of course, we know through genetic science that this is the actual sequence in which these three things develop. First hearing, then sight, then understanding. And even when the child is born, this is the nature of the development of the child. The child first hears, they can't see properly. It takes a few days for the eyes to settle. But they can hear from day one. So hearing, then sight, then understanding comes later. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said something. Kaleelam ma tashkurun. Kaleelam ma tashkurun. Only a few are grateful. And you are grateful but very little. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was once in the masjid. He was going somewhere. He heard there was a man who was making dua. And the man said, O Allah, make me among the khaleel. Make me among the few. So Sayyidina Umar stopped and he asked the man, he said, what kind of dua is this? What do you mean, make me something, you know, make me among the few? The man said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only said few whenever he mentioned good things. He said, Kalilam ma tashkurun. He said, only a few people are grateful. Little are you grateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the muqarrabun. And he said, Kalilu min al-akhirin. Thullatu min al-awalin wa kalilu min al-akhirin. So I want to be among the few. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all among the few who he is pleased with. So Rabb, when we said, Kalu Rabbun Allah, they said, Allah is our Rabb. The Rabb is the one who takes us from a stage of incompleteness, from nothing, to a stage of completion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed us in a physical sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us iman. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us some knowledge. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah to give us the ability to act on this knowledge. Knowledge does not get you Jannah, believe me. Knowledge does not get you Jannah. If knowledge could get Jannah, Shaitan would be in Jannah. Iblis would be in Jannatul Firdaus. Knowledge does not get you Jannah. Acting on the knowledge, amal on the knowledge gets you Jannah. Otherwise, knowledge lights the fire of Jahannam for you. Knowledge becomes the fire in which you burn in Jahannam. Knowledge becomes the hujjat against you on the day of judgment. We ask Allah to protect us from knowledge which becomes a problem for us. Because knowledge creates arrogance. We learn a little bit and then we become arrogant on it. I won't even mention the Anbiya. Because the Anbiya are very big. I will mention only our ulama. Imam Shafi'i was going somewhere and they got caught in a flash flood. And they managed to struggle out of this flash flood and they came out on the other side. And when they unpacked their camels and so on, and they were, you know, drying out their stuff because everything got wet, everyone got soaked. And in the process, when the panniers, the saddlebags of his camel, when they opened them, he had some books which he was taking with him, you know, very precious books. Now, what happens to books which are, especially those days, handwritten with ink on paper? You dunk them in water, what happens? Completely sodden and gone. I mean, the paper is all finished and all the ink is run and the books are ruined. So his students, they said, this is a calamity. They said, this is a musibah. What will we do? And then they noticed that Imam Shafi was sitting peacefully. There was no, you know, concern on his face, and he was not looking worried. And so they asked them, they said, "Ya Shaykh, I mean, you lost all these books and you don't even look worried." So Imam Shafi said to the man, he said, "Bring some paper." And he said, "Sit down." And he said, "Which was the first book?" He said, "Book is also." He said, "Start writing." He started dictating the books. Imagine, and we are talking about memorizing one surah. I cannot recite properly. He's talking about reciting book after book after book. Memorization, that's the kind of power Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. So today, if we get a little bit of knowledge and we become arrogant on it, we should remind ourselves. No one ever said that Imam Shafi rahmatullahi was arrogant. And that is because of the way we learn. Today we mistake information for knowledge. This is a very, very big mistake. People say we are students of knowledge. That is a statement of ignorance and arrogance. Zaluman jahula. You are a student of information. Information. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi said, "I studied adab for 30 years and then I studied knowledge for 20 years. Adab. For 30 years. Why? Because you can have the best seed in the world. Yeah, let me try to explain with an example. You can have the best seed in the world. Absolutely the most fabulous seed in the world. And you take this seed and you throw it in ground which is not prepared, which is rocky, which is acidic. What will happen to the seed? It will die. The seed will perish. It will not germinate. Even if it germinates, the seed will not produce anything. Is it the fault of the seed? No. It is your fault because you did not prepare the ground to receive the seed. If you had prepared the earth to receive the seed, then the seed would have germinated and flowered. And tell me, between preparing the ground and planting the seed, which is more difficult? Prepare the ground. Which takes longer? Planting takes 1 second, man. How long does it take to plant? You just stick it there, that's it. But preparing the ground? You plow the ground, you take soil samples, you go test it, you see what is the state of the soil, you then add whatever it is to make the soil to the right pH value, you see if the soil has got, bugs and stuff in it, you fumigate the soil, you put fertilizer in the soil. I mean, it takes you days and takes you a lot of effort. So you understand when Ibn Mubarak radiallahu anhu rahmatullahi says 30 years of adab, what is he talking about? He's talking about this ground, this heart has to be worked on. But today we have mistaken that. We think, I read one book here, I go there, I sit in one course and alhamdulillah, I'm a alim. I pick up one istilahat from here, from some words from here, some hadith from here, some couple of ayat of the Quran, and therefore this is the problem. So our ilm, instead of taking us to Jannah, may Allah protect us, it will take us to Jahannam. Ground is not prepared. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave dalil for this in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That he sent him to do what? Yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yu'allimuhum al-kitab wal hikmah. The dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted that dua, but he changed the order because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how it works. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, show them the seed. This has come, tilawat. Inform them. Yuzakkihim. Now prepare the ground. Purify them. They haven't got it yet. Here is what it is. Yuzakkihim. Prepare the ground. Wa yu'allimhumul kitab. Now plant the seed. Once the ground is prepared, after tazkiyatun nafs wa tarbiyatul akhlaq, after the adab, now plant the seed. Wa yu'allimuhumul kitab. Teach them what has been sent. Wal hikmah, and show them how to do it. This is Rabbul Alameen. So the Rabb is the one who takes something which is naqis to a state of kamal. Qalu Rabbuna Allah. So when we said Rabbuna Allah, this is what we must reflect on. Each one of us needs to reflect on ourselves and think and go back in your life and think, where was I? What was I doing? What was my life like? How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring it to where I am today? How did Allah save me? How did Allah protect me? How did Allah guard me? How did Allah support me? And what comes as a result of this? Shukr. Shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And that is what leads to istiqamah. So you stay on that. Thumma istiqamu. And you stick on that. What is the meaning of istiqamah? Istiqamah is that when I have said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is my Rabb, when I have accepted that, and I make shukr about this because I reflect on it, then I am firm on obeying the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, which is the essence of taqwa. Here is my Rabb, I recognize His glory and majesty. I see how that relates to me, which is my relationship with my Rabb. Rabbi Allah. My Rabb is Allah. Man Rabbuk? Rabbi Allah. Who is your Rabb? My Rabb is Allah. And I recognize what He gave me, and I am grateful to Him, and I make shukr. That is what gives me istiqamat. So then when I have to obey Him, I obey Him gladly, I obey Him with shauk, I love to obey Him. I will never disobey Him. If there is something which has the slightest doubt, I will not do it, because I don't want to offend my Rabb. How can I offend somebody who has always been good to me? We don't even do it with our own people. This shauk, this desire for ibadah, this comes from shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody asked the servant of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. They asked him, they said, please describe for us what is his day like. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was a businessman. He used to trade. So the servant says, he's describing his day of this businessman. He says, from one salah, he waits for the next salah. From one salah, he's waiting. When is the time going to come? He waits from one salah, he waits for the next salah, and in between he recites Quran. And he's doing business. And he's running a household, and it doesn't mean he's sitting in the masjid and doing this. He's doing this, his regular work goes on, but in this work, what is he waiting for? When is the time for salah? When can I go again before my Rabb? I just finished Fajr, not enough. Heart is not filled, it's not complete. I'm waiting for Dhuhr, waiting for Jummah. And in between, Tilawatul Quran. Shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that shukr is what gives istiqamat. Firmness. Staying on it. Consistency. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came home one day and there was a a lady, an elderly lady who was sitting beside Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, so Aisha introduced her and she said, this is my friend so-and-so. And she prays so many rakat of nafil in the night. You know, she spends the whole night in salah. So Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the action which may be small but which is done consistently. So you pray nawafil one day, the whole night, and then after that you sleep and then you don't wake up for Fajr. Or even if you wake up for Fajr, next night you are gone because you can't sustain that. Istiqamat, staying on something. Thumma istaqamu. And the one who does that, the one who accepts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu as his Rabb, who loves Allah, who makes shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever he has given him. And alhamdulillah, Ajib, Ajib, I tell you, the Sahaba of Rasulullah, Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, one day somebody met him in the market. And Abu Dharr Ghifari he was a soldier. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu was an amazing, amazing human being. Very tough, and he was a soldier. So he was wearing a thobe and it was patched and so on. So the man who met him, he said to him, why are you in these clothes? He said, yesterday I saw you had another thob on your shoulder. So what happened to that thob? So Abu Dharr Ghifari said to him, I found somebody who needed it more than me, so I gave it to him. And then he said to the man, I have this one which I wear on a daily basis. I have another one which I wear on Jummah. Thob. He said, I have a goat which gives me milk. I have a donkey which I ride. He said, what more do I want? He said, what more do I need? He said, alhamdulillah, my Rabb has given me everything. My Rabb has given me everything. Two thob, one goat, one donkey. My Rabb has given me everything. What more do I need? Shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shukr of Allah. They would eat one piece of bread and they shukr, alhamdulillah. We have got today 20 different kinds of dishes when you go for a meal. And you fill your plate and you eat half of it and you throw half of it. How will you answer to Allah? Shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who does that, thumma istaqamu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. For whom, for that person, for those people, there is no fear and there is no sadness. Fear is with respect to the future. What is to happen? What will happen to my business? What will happen to my family? What will happen to me? The future. And sadness is with the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that person is free from fear and sadness. La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. This is the sifat of the people of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the ones who are in Jannah, la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. They will have no fear and no sadness. The one who accepts Allah as his Rabb and who stays on that belief and on that acceptance with istiqamat and steadfastness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he is free from fear and free from sadness. Now what more do you want to tell me? This whole world and this whole running behind money and this and that, nobody wants money for the sake of money, believe me. Because what's he going to do with the money? You can't eat it. You want money because of what money gives you. And what does money give you? Money gives you insurance. Or you think it gives you insurance. If I have enough money, then I feel that, okay, I am now protected against calamities, I am protected against illness, because I have enough money in the bank. If I get sick, I can pay the hospital bills, I am protected against want, there will be no poverty because I have got enough to feed, you know, so many generations. And we have this faith on something which is really so momentary. And we see cases after cases in front of our eyes of people who were so wealthy, and because of a stock market crash or because of war or because of something else, they lost it all. It's gone. It not even because of their bad business or, you know, bad decisions. No, it is environment. But we feel that it can't happen to me. May Allah protect you and protect your wealth. I'm just saying that it's a foolish belief if you want to live in that belief. But we have this faith. And the one who said, I will free you from want and I will free you from sadness and I'll free you from grief and I will free you from fear. Provided you are true, provided you are faithful. How much reliance do we have on that? Allah is not subject to market crashes. Allah is not subject to droughts. Allah is not subject to wars. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. So I remind myself and you, let us reflect, let us think of all that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has given us. Make a list of all that Allah has given you. Actually physically do this. Sit down with a paper and a pen and write down. List down all that Allah has given you, which you should be grateful to Allah for. And then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. One sajda for one thing. So start praying, and in each sajda, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one thing with this list. Keep the list in front of you. That's good for the nawafil for the rest of your life, inshallah. Imagine how many nawafil we have. Just think about one thing. Issue of sugar, think about one thing. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees and says that tomorrow morning you will wake up only with those things that you thanked me for. If Allah decrees that tomorrow morning you will wake up with only those things that you thanked me for today, What will happen? Some of us would wake up blind. Some of us would wake up deaf. Some of us would wake up with our mind gone blanked out because we have no brain anymore. Yes or no? Did you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your eyesight yesterday? Did I thank? I'm only asking you because I'm talking to you. Did I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my eyesight? But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm still seeing. But if Allah had decreed that I will give whatever you thank me for, you will have tomorrow. Rest of it is gone. I'll guarantee you there will not be one single human being on the face of the earth who will be complete. Every single human being would have lost something or the other. Somebody will have no children, gone. The children will be dead because you never thanked Allah for children. For somebody, the parents will be dead because you didn't thank Allah for the parents. All your money will vanish because how many of you thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, alhamdulillah, you gave me so much money. Did you thank Allah yesterday? See the hilm of Allah, see the sabr of Allah Jalla Jalal. He gives everything. And we are a bunch of ingrates. We don't even say thanks. Then we disobey Allah. And we pick and choose. I will obey this and I will not obey that. See, the ultimate of arrogance. Still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, chalo, let us, okay. Some more time. And if you make tawbah, everything is forgiven. No? We need to thank Allah for this. We need to thank Allah for His sabr. We need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His ilm. For someone like me to make sabr is very easy, because in any case I can't do anything. So big time, you know, big deal. I am making sabr. Well, what else can you do? But the one who has the qudrat to do anything he wants. Arey, sabr to Allah ka sabr hai, bas. Aapka hamara sabr kya cheez hai? The one who has the qudrat, the ability to do anything, but he still does not do it. That is sabr. We have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, you have so much sabr that you still allow me to walk. You still allow me to have a life. Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we do that and we stay with firmness on this, on our statement of that Allah is my Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among His slaves who are shakirin, who make shukr, who have istiqamat, and who are obedient to Him completely and totally, who follow the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, because that is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody says, what does it mean? I want to obey Allah, what must I do? What is the one line answer? Follow the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. One line answer. Somebody comes to you and says, I want to obey Allah. Tell me what should I do? One line answer. Follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Everything is covered. That is the beauty of the sunnah. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the essence of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and who follow the sunnah of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among those who will be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because only those who follow His sunnah will be with Him. So we ask Allah to include us among those who will be with Him on the Day of Judgment and then in Jannatul Firdausul Ala bi ghayri hisab. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.